Start your day the Torah way, Rabbi David Roberts Shlita, Netzach Yisrael Edgware, Parshas Korach, Sunday the 17th of June. Start your day the Torah way, Rabbi David Roberts Shlita, Edgware, Netzach Yisrael, Parshas Korach, Sunday the 17th of June.
Good morning. For the cover, the opportunity to share some Torah. Yesterday we said in the Perek, "Imein derech eretz in Torah, imein Torah in derech eretz," and that really presents a conundrum because that means I can't acquire any Torah without midas, and I can't acquire midas without Torah. So how does it work? Where do I start? There's two possibilities logically. One is that they are somehow a simultaneous endeavor, and I'm sure that is a pshat. Rabbeinu Yoina learns differently. And Rabbeinu Yoina learns that one has to start tchila. One first has to start trying to be mesaken oneself in midas. But you cannot be mashlim yourself. It's a circle, learns Rabbeinu Yoina. But you cannot be mashlim yourself in midas or derech eretz without Torah. It's not shaykh. And there is therefore an interesting balance. On the one hand, there is an acknowledgement that, Lamashal, the Gemara in Erevin Daf Kuf, that if the Torah had not been given, we would have learnt Sneas from the Chatul, we would have learnt industry from the ant, etc., etc. At the same time, there's the recognition and the realization that without Torah, for various reasons that we won't go into today, you cannot be mashlim yourself in Midas. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal used to love pointing out that, you know, we talk about, Shlomo HaMelech says, that learn the industry from the ant, Gevaldik. But where did the ant get the wheat from? He stole it from the farmer. It's a ganaf. So you cannot be mashlim yourself in midas and derech eretz without Torah for a variety of reasons. Having said that, therefore, when one talks about morality, there is a balance. Mitzad Echad, says the Rambam famously in Shmoneh Prokim, that what is better? Somebody who says, I would gladly do Averis, but the only reason I'm not doing Averis is because the Rabbeinu Shalom tells me not to. Or is it better to say, no, I would never go and do such a thing. I could never do such a thing. And the Rambam famously answers and is mechalek between the different types of mitzvahs, different types of Averis. Mitzvah sichlius, imagine if somebody said, I would gladly murder you. I'd gladly take every penny you have. What should I do? The Rabbeinu Shalom says, leis exile. Such persons nishkan mensch. There's no hava mina that would be the right thing to do. The Ramban in two places, in Parshas Noach and in Parshas Bereishis, asks the question, how could the Rebbeinu Shem destroy the world for Gezel? He'd never sent a Novi to say, Le'sigzel. The Teret says he doesn't need as hor of a Novi, says the Ramban Mefurish. You don't need a Novi to tell you. The Rebbeinu Shem gave us a sense of inbuilt morality, which has to understand, Daf Alein Fashtein, you can't go around and stick a knife in somebody else's heart. You can't go around and take other people's stuff. Mitzvahs which are not sichlius, shatnas, kashrus, any of the other things, of course, efshi v'efshi, of course I would eat it. What can I do? The Rabbeinu Shalom told me not to. So that's how the Rambam in Shemayna Prokim is mechalik between these two types of mitzvahs. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in a similar idea, asked in Mordechai Kasher, one of his drushim on Shavuos, he asks, Yadua, Chazal say that Yifia Mehar Poron, the Rabbeinu Shalom came and he offered the Torah to the Goyim, and they said, Maksivba, what is it? What's written in it? And he said, like, all the different things, and they said, no way. Frank Ramesh, a simple kasha. He says, what do you mean? Society has always understood since time immemorial that there has to be a certain amount of law and order. We have, going back even to the time of Avraham Avinu, there was the Hammurabi Code. There was some sort of sense, and the Greeks and the Romans, they may have had a warped sense of morality, but they certainly had legal systems of some sort. They understood there has to be a penal code. There has to be, says Rav Moshe, that's all the social contract. That's all it is. It's a mutual backslapping exercise to prevent a descent into anarchy. I want to make sure that nobody goes around stealing my car, so no, I won't go and steal yours. But to understand that there is a morality which is rooted in Sinai, where the Rabbeinu Shlolem decides what is Leisirtzach, what isn't Leisirtzach, what is Leisigzel, what are the parameters? Because often we'll have cases where it's not clear. It's bichlal not clear. Sometimes, to some extent, you can use your Svara, and sometimes you need the Torah. Mitzad Echad, we find many times in the Gemara says, I'll give you a proof of Svara or a Pasuk. And so much so that the Gemara sometimes says, if I've got a Svara, Kra Lomali. What do I even need a Pasuk for? Says Rav Moshe, what they couldn't accept, what the Goyim couldn't accept, was that there should be a system of morality where the Rabbeinu Shlomo decides the extent, the limits, the parameters, that they couldn't be Mekabel. And that's what we were Mekabel. So I want to take a case, a contemporary case in Halacha, and show to some extent, discuss a little bit. I'm sure you will all know the Rosh Prokim of the Sugi, I have no doubt. Some of you more, but maybe we can come up with something to some extent. It's in the Sugi of Pikuach Nefesh. Now it's Yodua. Let's take the first, the practical example. We hope it doesn't happen again, and there are various, Rav Zilberstein in a number of his Sforim has got various permutations of this Shaila. But we'll talk about 9/11 for a minute. So on 9/11, the third flight, there was a flight from Newark going to San Francisco, United Airlines Flight 93. It was hijacked by the terrorists 45 minutes into the flight. And they breached the cockpit, they overpowered the pilots, and they took control of it, and they directed it to Washington, D.C. There seems to be a certain amount of evidence that potentially the U.S. Air Force could possibly have managed to reach it in time and shoot it down. The Shaila is as follows. In the event, as you know, the passengers themselves overpowered the aircraft and they all died. But what would be the halacha? What would be the halacha in terms of shooting down the plane? Now, this is something which, on the one hand, it's interesting, as we'll see, Svara is involved to some extent. At the same time, it's not that poshut. Let's see. So the starting point is the Rambam, and then we'll go back to the Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam says, Harigas nefesh mi Yisrael, lerapos nefesh acheres, oy lehatzil odom miyad anos, dovo shehadas noiteloyu, she'ein ma'abdin nefesh mitnei nefesh. When you have a situation to kill one yid in order to save another, that's something Dovosha had das neitalei. The das tells us that this is something that you can't do. Ein doichin nefesh mipnei nefesh, to use the halachic terminology, but it's Dovosha had das neitalei. And we'll come back to this. That's the makor of it. It's Dovosha had das neitalei. The makor is the Gemara in Psachim, Chafei on the base. The Gemara discusses the case where somebody has put Nebuch in a situation of kill or be killed. And the Gemara says clearly that, of course, you have to allow yourself to be killed. I'm not going to go into the depth. If anybody's really interested, there's a very important Reb Chaim Halevi al Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeh Shmiras Nefesh that goes into the depth of the Lomdas. We're not going to manage to do that today, but at least superficially to look through it. So the Gemara says the famous formulation that I'm sure you're all familiar with. Who told you that your blood is redder than his? Maybe his blood is redder than yours. But it's a pure svara. It's an absolute svara. What does that mean? There's a very important, a very beautiful Rashi here. Rashi says as follows. It's understood, of course, that the Hatzolas Nefesh Yisrael is of paramount importance. Agav, maybe just very, very briefly, mention a beautiful Chasam Sofer. There's a wonderful Chasam Sofer where he says, based on the famous idea that I'm sure you're aware of from Sefer Yetzirah and other places, that everything in Yiddishkeit works in terms of Olam Shana Nefesh. It manifests in space, in time, and in spirit. Every concept in Yiddishkeit. Rav Emerson Makoris of the Bryson Sefer Yetzirah. But Chasam Sofer points out in Vayakel, he points out that we see this manifest in terms of Kedusha. Take the concept of Kedusha. So in Kedusha you have Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos. In other words, what is a Beis HaMikdash? It is the creation of hallowed space, of sanctified space. That's what the Beis HaMikdash is. But that is not Deicha Shabbos. Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Deicha Shabbos. What do you see from that? You see that the Kedushas HaZman trumps Kedushas HaMokim. What's the only thing for which we're Mechalel Shabbos? Kedushas HaZman, says the Chasam Sofer, Hatzolas Nefesh Yehudi. The Kedusha of a Neshama, of a Yid, is, and here you see it, he says you see it in the hierarchy, the fact that we are only Michal Shabbos to say the Nefesh Ayehudi, and Kedusha, and Shabbos is not Nidcha for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So there you see clearly the hierarchy. But Al Kolponim, which is a beautiful idea, Al Kolponim, what we see is that normally that all other mitzvahs are set aside to save a nefesh. But over here, in this scenario of kill or be killed, says Rashi, V'hatayra lehitira lidchoses ha-mitzvah elim ipnei chibas nafshoi shel Yisrael. Why does the Torah, Rabbein Shem, allow us to eat chazah, to be mechal Shabbos? Because chibas nafshoi shel Yisrael. It's the love that the Rabbein Shalom has for the nefesh Yisrael. V'kan aveira nasis v'nefesh avuda. Over here, somebody's going to die. Right? That's the situation. It's kill or be killed. So somebody's dead. Whichever way you look at it. Mi yoimar shenafshecha chaviva lifnei hamokoim yoisa mishel zeh. Who tells you that your neshama is more balit by the Rabbeinu Shlomo than somebody else's? There's no way of knowing. Dil mishel zeh chaviva tvei alav. Maybe the other person's neshamas. In other words, when the shaila is whether a yid will be killed or not, we do anything. We set aside anything and everything besides the Gimel Averis in order to save because of Chibas Nefesh Yisrael. But here, Ayid's going to die. So Elamai, you need to make a Shikul Adas. You need to make a quality judgment. Whose Neshama is worth more? What's the Knei Midah? What's the yardstick? It's how much the Rabbeinu Shalom, how much Nachas you give the Rabbeinu Shalom. Mi Yoyma Shanafshachol Chaviva Lefnei Amokim. It's a beautiful Lashon Rashi. Interestingly, in Halacha, this would manifest. Even if one yid was a godel ador, and the other yid was a poshta yid, probably have to be a shomer Torah mitzvahs, but a poshta elecha yid. Whether he can sacrifice himself or not is a shail in the poskim. Whether you're allowed to give yourself up, they say a ma'isa. The Rabbanasha Klein, Rabbanasha Cotton brings that in the war. Somebody a chosid posed as the Belzer Rebbe in order to save him and was killed. V'kodesh yemalei, as I shrived. But but in halacha miyema, how do you know who gives the Rabbeinu Shlomo nachas? It's an amazing idea. Al kaponim, that's the makom. Now, where it gets more problematic, that's one against one. Now, the case obviously which becomes more problematic is a tosefta in Trumas, which is based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah there is talking about women when they want to be ma'anas. There's a group of women. They say t'no lanu achad mikem, give us one of you. So you're not allowed, the halacha is, you're not allowed to give over because you can't decide. Same concept, you can't decide. We'll just read you out the Tosefta, it's an important Tosefta. Tosefta says, Siya shal b'nei adam sh'amr lehem goyim t'nu lanu echon mikem v'na'ar gay. If there's a group of people, and the goyim say, give us one of you and we'll kill you. Vim lav anrei ariyan orgu hergim es kulchem. Otherwise we're going to kill all of you. The halacha is, yeh orgu kulan v'al yimosru lehen nefesh achas mi Yisrael. You've got to allow yourself all to be killed. And you cannot hand over Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael. However, Avon, Im Yichaduhu Lohem. But if they designate, if they specify, if the goyim say, we want Mr. X, that's who we're after. We want him. Either give us Mr. X, or we'll kill all of you, then it's different. Kegoyim Sheyichadu Lesheva Ben Bichri, Yitnu Lohem Val Yehargu Kulon. Then you do hand him over. The case was as follows, a story in Nach, which I'm sure you're familiar with. The story was that Sheva ben Bichri was a Meirid B'Malchus, and we'll see to what extent that was relevant or not. He was a Meirid B'Malchus against David HaMelech. He holed up in a city called Avel, and the Yoav came with all his men, and he surrounded the city, and he said, I want you to give me Sheva ben Bichri. So this was a classic case. It was a case of Yichaduhu. The Yoav had designated, he said, I want Sheva ben Bichri, otherwise I'll kill all of you. The Gemara of the Pasuk says there was a woman there who spoke Bechochma, and Chazal tell us it was Serach Bas Asha, and she said, and the question was what the Chochma was, and she said, well, it becomes a bit of a shail exactly what she said and the meaning of what she said. But she said, Omra lahem, hoyil v'hu neherag v'atem neherogim. Hold on a second, she said. Whichever way you look at it, Sheva ben Bichri is a dead man. Either we don't hand him up, in which case he dies, we all die, or we do hand him up, in which case he's dead. So whichever way you look at it, he's dead. Therefore, t'nuhu lahem v'al tehorgu kulchem. Let's hand him over. We should never make sense to hand him over. Reb Shimon Omer, but there's another opinion there in the Tosefta. Reb Shimon Omer, Kach Omer Lehem. That's not what she said. She said to them as this. She said, "Kol Amirid B'Malchus Beis David Chayev Misa." She said that Sheva Ben Bichri is Chayev Misa. So we have actually two opinions in the Yerushalmi, and this become in the Tosefta, and that actually becomes two opinions of Machlekes Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Yerushalmi. Reb Yochanan holds. Yichaduhu is sufficient. All you need is for the goyim to identify somebody. We'll come back to the lomdus later to understand how it works. If they just identify one person and say, we want so-and-so, that's sufficient. That allows you to hand him over. Reish Lakish says no. Only if on top of it he's also chayav misa. Only if he's anyway chayav misa. But the fact that yichaduhu alone doesn't suffice. That's how Reish Lakish paskens. How would you pasken? Klolei hapsak? Pashas pasken like Rabbi Yochanan, wouldn't you? We'll see. Lots of poshut. The Ramah in Yerodea Kufnun Zayin Sif Aleph, I'll read you out the Ramah. The Ramah says as follows. If the goyim came and said, give us one of you and we'll kill him, you can only hand him over if they specify a particular person and they say, tnu lanu ployni v'yeshoimrim da'afilu b'chi haygavna ein lemosroi elohim kein chayev misa kesheva ben bichri. So it's actually a machlokes rishonim. It's two opinions, and that's how the Ramah brings it. The first opinion is yichaduhu is enough. That's Rabbi Yochanan, and v'yeshayim rim shafilu b'chiyah gavnein lemasrei, unless he's anyway chayiv misa like Sheva ben Bichri. That is Reish Lakish. Let's just have a quick look at the Rambam, because that's going to be very important soon. The Rambam says as follows: v'chein perakei said atayra lochehei v'chein imam rulehem goyim tnu lanu echad mikem v'nahargenu v'im lav nahare kulchem yehor gukulam, everybody should get killed v'ali masru lehem nefesh achas v'israel v'in yichaduhu lohem v'amru tnu lanu ployin yein arges kulchem, if they designate somebody im hoyom chuyiv misa kesheva ben bichri, if he was anyway guilty of a capital offence, he'd rebelled against the king or something similar, then yitnu oise lehem. And even that, Vein Meirin Kein Lechatchila, doesn't mean you necessarily pasken that when you're asked. It's a side issue. But clearly, the Rambam is paskening like Reish Lakish. That only, it's not enough for them just to designate somebody, the person himself actually has to be Chayev Misa. The first thing that we need to look at over here is, whichever way you look at it, whether you pasken like Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish, and these, as we've shown, are two dayas in the Ramah, whichever way you look at it, l'chura you see that chaye sha'a of an individual, that means temporary life of an individual, cannot be sacrificed to save the many. Explain what I mean. Very simple. Whether you pasken like Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish, you need, at the very least, you need the goyim to specify an individual. If they have not specified an individual, the fact that everybody's going to be dead in 5 minutes is irrelevant. You cannot take, there's a group of us. Let's say we are to take one person. Obviously we won't point at anybody. Let's say we're to take one person. And they're going to say, give us one. We don't care who. Give us one. Right? So, according to no opinion, if they have not specified, would you be able to hand anybody over? Why not? Whoever we hand over is going to be dead in 5 minutes anyway. So the maximum this person has is Chaye Shah. Doesn't have any more than that. But you see, that's not good enough. You see, there's no way to do an act of Hariga, essentially. To hand somebody over, there's no way you can do that. The Nedib Yehuda learns a similar halacha regarding Trefa from the Rambam in Hilchas Ritzeach. You see, that the halacha is as follows. If you kill a trefa, somebody that has some sort of congenital disease and won't live for 12 months anyway, so although you're not allowed, there's an issur etzicha, you can't kill a trefa, but it's a non-capital offence. It's a non-capital offence. So could we hand over a trefa? Here's a shaila. Could we hand over a trefa? Says that. So the Nedib Yehuda brings a raya from the Rambam that you can't do that. What's his raya? The Rambam says as follows, and this is the other side of it, which we need to go into a little bit, and this is the halacha of roideth, which we haven't really spoken about yet. So far we've spoken about nefesh mipnei nefesh, right? You've got one nefesh, you've got another nefesh, you're making a quality judgment of one nefesh against the other. But there is, as I'm sure you're all familiar, there is a concept of roideth, a concept, whether it's learned from Machteres, wherever it's learned from, the sugi and Sanhedrin base, that if somebody is habala horga, chashkin lahorga, if somebody comes to kill you, if somebody is roideth you, then you have every right, provided that he's not nitten hatzil of echad meivarov, as long as you're not able to incapacitate him, if the only way out is to kill him, then you have to do so. The classic formulation of this or one of the classic formulations of this, is a case of a woman in childbirth, a mission in Armas. And the way it's brought as follows, it's a Shvera Rambam, because there's one aspect of the Rambam which doesn't seem to fit, but I'll read you out the Rambam. The Rambam says as follows, there is a mitzvah saseh, shalei lochos al nefesh haredev. You're not allowed to have pity, it's a lav in the Torah, you're not allowed to have pity on a roedef. So the Mishnah says in others, there are two cases. When a fetus is still inside, hasn't yet been born, it's not yet yotza roishoi, and its existence, the process is endangering the mother, and one of them is going to die, then because at that stage the fetus is not deemed to be a nefesh quite yet, right? Therefore, you can be mechat eva, if necessary, you can cut the fetus and thereby save the mother. Yotza roishoi, says the Mishnah, but once the child is born, nothing doing. Ein doichi nefesh mipnei nefesh. Now, the Lombus will be instructive in a minute why that is so, but once it's born, there's nothing that you can do. The Lashon HaRambam is, Leficha chayru chachomim, sheha ubra shehi makshe leileit, mutalach techuba b'meyeha bein besam bein b'yad, mipnei shehu kereidif achareha. That's a shver Lashon HaRambam, because the Gemara doesn't seem to say that. But mishahoitzi roisha, ein noigin boy. Once it's out, you can't touch it. You can't set aside one soul for another. This is the way of the world. It's a, if you like, it's a God-driven process. It's a physiological process. Mishmayahu dekarad fala. The Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, how to understand this. The Bavli says it is that the din roidav comes, it's mishmayim that they are being roidav. And the Yerushalmi says we can't work out who's the roidav and who's the nirdav. That's how the Yerushalmi learns. But either way, says the Noda Yehuda, he says the only heta you see when it's still inside to kill the child is mipnei shehu karoidef. The fact that even though killing a fetus, you're not chayv misa if you kill a fetus. You can't. It's osa, you can't do it. But killing a fetus, you're not chayv misa. Nevertheless, the Rambam says the only heta to kill it while it's still inside is only mipnei shehu karoidef. What do you see from here? That in a treifa, the Noda Yehuda brings a raya from here, that a treifa would have the same halacha. It wouldn't help you to say, oh, he only has Chayesha. That's the Noda Yehuda's Raya. There's an interesting Chazanish. The Chazanish brings a Raya from the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia Samach Beis. The famous Gemara that you all know. Two people are in the desert, and they have one, Kiten Echad Shel Mayim, and the famous, and there's only enough water to save one. What's the halacha? Machlekes, Ben Petura, and Rabbi Akiva. Famous Machlekes. So Ben Petura says, Mutav Shishtu Shneim V'yomusu, it's better that they both die. Whatever that means, they shouldn't see the other one dying. Rabbi Kiva came along and said, no, v'chayachicho imach. Imach indicates, Marsha says, imach means as like with you, but you come first. Chayacho koidmin, you come first. Chazanish, like other Rishonim, like other Achreinim, are very bothered by Ben Petura, because Rabbi Kiva seems to be quite compelling. Rabbi Kiva's logic is quite compelling. Imach, how can it be better? How, where's the logic come from to that they should both drink? The fellow's not allowed to keep the water for himself. They both have to drink and they'll both die. So the Chazanish Tainas as follows. He says, really Ben Petura agrees, Be'etzem he agrees with Rabbi Akiva, that if only one person could receive benefit, of course you come first. He gives the following moshel. What would be, says the Chazanish, if they were, both of them were poisoned? There's one antidote. I have the antidote. Two of us, right? Both of us are poisoned. There's only one antidote. And taking half the antidote will do nothing. But if one person takes the antidote, then that person will live. He says, without a shadow of a doubt, then of course, you take the shadow. Even according to Ben Petura, he says, you take the antidote yourself. And what would be if it belonged to a third party? He says then the regular halachas of triage would apply. Whatever the halachas are of precedence, that they would apply. Even Ben Petura would agree. He only argues in the case of water, because each life here will be prolonged minimally. And there's a chiyuv of hatsala for chaye sha'a. He says there's an obligation to save life, even though it'll only be for a bit. In other words, both lives are equal. Every moment of life is of infinite value. And if we each have water, each of us will live a little bit longer, and there is a chiyuv of hatsala of chaye sha'a. The only machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura is whether that saving your own life overrides, according to Rabbi Akiva, the chiyuv of hatsala of chaye sha'a, whereas according to Ben Petura it doesn't. Says the Chazanish, therefore, only saving yourself can override the obligation to temporarily extend life. So what would be if the water belonged to a third party, an unendangered third party? What would the halacha be? He said you'd have to divide the water equally. Because that third party, you have a third unendangered party. Right? Now you've got two people. So the third party has a chiv of hatsolos chayeshah to both of them equally. He doesn't have the factor of Rabbi Akiva, of imach, of yourself coming first. Because he's not in any danger. Says the Chazon Ish, you'd have to give to both of them equally and they'd both die. According to everybody. What you see al kolponim from that is, kal v'chomer, killing one person, all the more so, killing one person who only has chayeshah to save the lives of others, that's certainly going to be awesome. So therefore, Hatzalah for Chaye Shah, there is a chiyuv of Hatzalah for Chaye Shah, but you cannot sacrifice even Chaye Shah of an individual. So the fact, and that's borne out by the Gemara, the fact that we're all going to be dead in a few minutes is totally irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. But let's look at it perhaps from the perspective of Roidif. So, the pilot, the shaila is as follows. We want to shoot down the plane. Okay? So, first of all, by the way, there's an interesting Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, interesting story. A woman who, her maidservant fainted. She fainted. So the lady of the house went to give her some mashka, something to revive her, but accidentally gave her paraffin, and she swallowed it, she spluttered the thing, and she died. And the shaila from the Chasam Sofer was, does she need a kapara? Chasam Sofer has got various cheshbainas, interesting tshuva, but he comes out in the end, she doesn't really need a kapara. Why? Because she was, it was a maisa hatzola, it wasn't a maisa redifa. It is designated, it's defined as an act of hatzola. Why is it an act of hatzola? Because that's what she was doing. In Ochanama, she killed her by mistake, but she was trying to actually save her. And this is one part of what our shaila would be. To shoot down 400 people to save the lives of hundreds or thousands, of many hundreds or thousands. One thing we'd have to look at is that called an act of Hatzala? Is that called an act of Redifa? And it would possibly make a big difference. The problem is here, and that is the pilot is certainly a Roidif. The Abdul, whatever his name is, at the controls of the plane now, he's certainly a Roidif. And killing him, we'd lose no sleep. The question is, what about the passengers? Are the passengers considered Roidifim or not? Pashtus, they are not. Pashtus, they are not Roidifim. Pashtus. And there was actually a case, just really very briefly, a case, obviously we're not going to get through the whole topic, but I get through a case in history, which you may or may not know, and that is in the Second World War, there was a German spy ring that was compromised, whereby the German spy ring was giving information back to the German government as to where the V1, V2 rockets had fallen. It was compromised, and there were double agents there, there were British agents, and the Shiley went to the cabinet. Went to the cabinet, and the shaila was as follows, that the double agent should possibly tell the German military that most of the rockets had fallen well north of London, which they actually had not, because then they would aim their rockets further south to Surrey or Sussex or Kent, and that way there would be far fewer casualties. And that was a shaila that came to the cabinet. So this is something, again, it's a similar sort of thing. We'll see. So Churchill was abroad at the time. The Home Secretary was Herbert Morrison. And it seems he was quite a religious fellow. And he rejected it out of hand. He said, no way. And even though there was a cabinet veto, they didn't listen to him. They tried to still trick the Germans. And he was furious with indignation. And he brought the matter before the cabinet. And he's reported to have exclaimed, who are we to act as God? Who are we to decide that one man shall die because he lives on the south coast, while another survives because he lives in London? And they changed their minds. The shaila is, where do we stand? Where do we stand on this? A similar shaila, which is actually a Chazon Ish. This is one that's proposed by modern philosophers, but it's mefurish a Chazon Ish. It's a Sofik and a Chazon Ish. The case is as follows. It's called the trolley dilemma. There is the trolley car in San Francisco is careering down one of the steep hills in San Francisco, out of control. The brakes have failed. And it's about to plow into a large group of people. But there is the signalman towards the bottom of the track has the ability to change the points on the line and turn it onto a siding where it'll kill one workman who's working there. Are you allowed to do that? Can you deflect that or not? Chazon Ish has mamish that shaila. He declares that shaila. He says a bystander who witnesses the release of an arrow, or a grenade you could say in modern terms, aimed at a large group, can you deflect the arrow to a single, unendangered individual at the moment? The Chazon Ish is Mesupek. He doesn't come to a Hachra. He says, on the one hand, maybe it's deemed an act of Hatzalah. What are you trying to do? Why are you getting involved at all? Why are you getting involved? You're aiming to do Hatzalah, perhaps like the Chasam Sofer. What would be if somebody's shooting an arrow at you and you duck out the way? Is that the same? Or perhaps, says the Chazon Ish, and he seems to be a little bit noted to this, that perhaps this is worse because it's killing Biyodayim. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Yichaduhu is enough, but that's only to hand him over. You couldn't take him and kill him yourself. Pashtus. Okay, we're out of time. We haven't finished the topic. Maybe continue part two another time. But say that, we'll leave it here.